Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Everyone, happy Wednesday and welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your host Amelia.
I'm Beth.
And today we are doing something very, very fun. We have noticed from looking at the numbers that you guys really like hearing ghost stories.
Yeah, I think that's why we're in a ghost hunting podcast.
I know, but like I would have thought our ghost hunts would be the big thing.
Well, we haven't done one of those in a while. We'll have to do another one soon.
We're signed up for one later this month.
We are.
Yeah, with Boston Paranormal Investigators. We have some stuff coming up. We have some other ghost hunts on the horizon, but we've decided to stop announcing things until they're really happening because sometimes they don't happen. So yeah, everyone seemed to really like our ghost stories from Rhode Island. So we said, what the heck? Where better to vacation in New England in summertime than my favorite New England state outside of Massachusetts, obviously, Vermont. So tonight is ghost stories from Vermont.
Excellent. Instead of trying to do too many of them for Vermont, we just really kind of focused in on three fairly large and well-known places.
Yeah, because we already did Emily's Bridge on another episode, and that's like the most haunted bridge. That's like a known haunted bridge, and we can't redo it.
I thought that was in Massachusetts.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
Go back and be like Beth and go back and listen to our podcast again. Emily's Bridge is up in Stowe, Vermont, and it's the one we did on the Lady in White episode.
Oh, okay.
About Emily.
I thought that that was the one where Normal Mike went out and did his drive-by from last week.
No.
Which, by the way, was hilarious.
It was awesome. Please go back and listen to our last podcast, Listener Ghost Stories. What? No, Drive-By Ghostings. What do we call them?
I think we call them drive-by ghostings.
We call them drive-by ghostings. That's what we're doing. We're also so excited. So some things might not make sense. We've been kind of like in vacation mode a little bit.
I'm in vacation mode like 100%. There's no little bit going on here.
Well, I'm not at all. So that's what we're meaning it a little bit. So we've been off kind of a weird recording schedule, which is why sometimes it's like two episodes before we reference things people say to us about other episodes. But now we're back.
I suppose so. Until next week when I depart North America.
Yeah. Beth is the vacation queen.
Hey, it's summertime and I'm a teacher. What do you want?
I want a vacation.
I have to pay really high airfares whenever I go anywhere because everyone's on vacation.
What, are you trying to brag?
I'm trying to say
really good health insurance? Like, what is this?
Actually, I do. Yeah.
Should we get into it?
I think we should.
Okay. Not only are we focusing on Vermont stories, but you know what? Summer's almost over and we're thinking about going back to school again.
Yes. It's not almost over. It's August 1st.
Happy 3 month anniversary to our podcast.
It's been 3 months since our podcast started.
Yes.
That's very, very exciting. 3 months.
3 months. It's pretty exciting stuff.
And I'm really excited about our Instagram followers, but Amelia tells me that I can't talk about it because she says it's not enough followers to talk about. But
I just said it's not that impressive.
Well, I think that 600 followers is pretty impressive.
Oh, my goodness.
She's going to edit this out anyway. Thanks to our 600 followers.
Thank you.
I love you guys.
Thank you so much, everyone who's following us. And if you're not following us on Instagram, please do. So that way we actually will have something to brag about.
I didn't want to brag about it. I just wanted to say, like, this is really exciting. Back when we were getting to, like, number 100, my friend Bonnie is actually our follower number 100 because
God bless her.
I had put it out there, like, who's going to be number 100? And I was sending Amelia screenshots of the Instagram, like, every single day, multiple times. Like, hey, we made it to 80. Hey, we're at 94.
She did. That's very true. Now we're at 600.
I know. I'm old and geeky, and I thought it was very cool.
I think it's fabulous. Go us. Go ghost hunting in New England. Please.
She told me not to talk about it, but I talked about it anyway.
Talked about it to nauseam. All right. Time to get into our stories. Our first story is about the Vermont Police Academy. Ba-da-da. Vermont Police Academy was formerly a state hospital for tuberculosis patients. At one point, tuberculosis was thought to be vampirism, but turned out that wasn't what it was.
It was thought to be vampirism?
Yeah.
Well, they used to call it consumption, but I didn't think they called it vampirism.
I think that prior to consumption, it was they just thought people were being vampires.
Did they, like, come back to life?
I didn't ask.
Huh. I'll have to look into that further.
In the 18th and early 19th century, sanitariums were constructed across the country not only to attempt to cure all those who were suffering from the illness, but to remove them from the rest of society. The Calvary Sanitarium was deeded to the state of Vermont in 1921 and would remain active till 1967, when advances in medicine led to a significant decline in the number of patients who required treatment and the state cutting off the funding. Okay, that's enough history. Now onto the ghost. One of the houses on the property has actually been turned into a Halloween haunted house. It's kind of a cool sense of humor because this house is haunted AF.
Really?
Yes.
Where in Vermont is the police academy located? Like what town?
Pittsfield. Yeah.
Perhaps in October, instead of going to the mobbed Salem, we will drive the extra hour and a half, 2 hours to Pittsfield.
I will be doing both.
And we can drive around and ogle all the cadets.
There's nothing I like more than ogling a man in uniform. All right. Stories of feeling watched in certain parts of the house have been reported, some rooms stronger than others, including a few rooms upstairs. Untraceable sounds, mysterious lights, and phantom odors have been reported. A town firefighter who worked in the haunted house shared some of his knowledge and his own experiences with a local reporter. He recalled hearing stories of seeing people and kids on the second floor and hearing the disembodied sounds of kids crying in the house. He also reported hearing sightings of what he described was a nurse dressed in a dated uniform, seen walking up and down the stairs, and reported that he has experienced unexplainable cold spots in certain areas of the house and personally heard phantom footsteps in rooms when he was the only one present. The firefighter also went on to tell reporters about strange experiences the volunteers who set up the haunted house have witnessed. Every year, light bulbs around the house inexplicably burst in their fixtures. Props and personal items get moved or lost entirely. There is a room in the house where other employees say they've had costumes thrown at them by unforeseen forces. The most famous ghost on the property is that of Nurse Mary. Although I would like to do a little note that in my research of this, sometimes she's called Nurse Amy, which I'm assuming, I don't know. I'm assuming someone misheard Mary and just wrote Amy.
I would agree because Amy is a more recent name in the English lexicon.
Yes. She is said to be a nurse of the tuberculosis hospital who unfortunately contracted the disease and quickly went from employee to patient. Her apparition has been seen around, as we just heard the firefighter saying sometimes he sees the nurse walking up and down the steps. At the police academy, some of the original call buttons for the patients at the TB hospital can still be found in some of the rooms on campus. It is said that if you accidentally, or I guess
on purpose,
whatever, if you hit the button, Nurse Mary may pay you a visit. She's said to be a very friendly ghost and sometimes can be felt standing close to cadets or pulling blankets up over them late at night. What do you think?
Is Nurse Mary also at my friend Ricky's house, pulling up blankets in the middle of the night to keep her warm?
Right, from our last episode. That's true. We had another ghost doing that over there. Now, what I didn't know is I didn't think at police academies they stayed overnight.
Didn't you see the movie?
No. I don't watch a lot of movies.
My entire understanding of Police Academy is from the series of Police Academy movies. But one of the things that definitely happens is it's like boot camp for the military, where they all go there and they all have to wear like the ugly little uniforms, like sweatpants, and they run and they do push-ups and then they sleep in the barracks at night. So instead of being like barracks like you think of for like Army or Marine recruits, they'd probably be staying in the old patients' rooms, which is why they would have access to those old call buttons.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know what I think the problem is that we live in Massachusetts. So I don't know if they stay overnight here.
They do.
Because it's pretty – I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure they do. I actually, a long, long time ago, took the civil service state trooper exam with the understanding that if I got in, I would have to go somewhere out in Western Mass and stay there for – I believe it was a couple of months. And I'd be able to, call my husband on the weekends.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody who goes to police academy gets to, go home, at 5 o'clock. Can somebody who's been through police training in Massachusetts send us an email, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com, and set us straight on this?
Yeah, we have no idea.
Is it an overnight thing? Is it a sleepaway camp? Do you go Monday through Friday?
I wouldn't call it a sleepaway camp. Oh my goodness. We're going to get in trouble.
Why?
I'm scared of cops.
Why?
I don't know. What I don't do anything illegal.
I was going to say, what are you doing wrong that you're afraid of them?
Nothing. And that's the thing. So at my old coffee shop, there was a police officer who's come in all the time, and we were very friendly, and we're still very friendly to this day. So we'd come in sometime and order sandwiches or whatever. And sometimes he would come on duty with the squad car,
mm-hmm.
and he'd like walk in and be like, "Oh, it's just you." Like, I got really nervous. Like, the police showed up, and he was like, "Why are you doing something illegal?" And I was like, "No," but we really weren't. I just get nervous.
I hope you don't get pulled over a lot then.
Not anymore. I used to. Maybe that's where it came from.
Our next haunted institution is near and dear to my heart. It's Norwich University in Northfield, Vermont. And my oldest son, Michael, actually went there. He's a graduate of 2015, and he was in the Corps of Cadets. So he went through being a rook and having to do like pseudo basic training as a freshman in addition to all of his classes in college. So that was very exciting for me as his mom, and I'm sure very terrifying and exhausting for him as a, you know, little 18-year-old kid. So
go Mike.
Yeah, go Mike. You did it. You graduated, and now you get that great job, and we're all so proud
of you.
We're
so proud of you, Mike.
So
start listening to our podcast.
So Norwich University was built in 1819. They're going to celebrate their 200th anniversary this year. And if you haven't been there, it's about 5, maybe 10 minutes south of Montpelier in Vermont. When you arrive at the campus, it's an interesting layout that they refer to it as the campus on the hill or the school on the hill. So it's all stairs. Everywhere you go, it's up flights of stairs, down flights of stairs. They have like an upper promenade, and it's ringed by the main dorms. There was an original set of them that were built back around 1900, and those have all been systematically replaced over the years, built with buildings that have been put up since the 60s.
Okay.
I'm sorry, was that terribly boring?
It was a little boring. Sorry.
Let's get to the interesting stuff. Well, in order to understand the stories, you have to kind of have a mental picture of what it looks like. My God, she's rolling her eyes. You wouldn't believe the eye roll I just got.
All right.
So, really quick. The librarians say that their most requested topic at the school is the idea of the ghosts and is it haunted? And it has been so established as a haunted institution that John Zaffis from the Paranormal Research Society of New England visited not once, but twice. Once in 2003 and then again in 2006. And so all those buildings up on the top around the upper promenade, they all have different names, I think, like most dormitories and colleges do. But he specifically found that there were spirits present in Dewey Hall, Ransom Hall, Hawkins Hall, the Goodyear Hall, and Alumni Hall. And so if you haven't heard of John Zaffis or the Paranormal Research Society of New England, I bet you have heard of his slightly more famous uncle, Ed Warren.
Nice.
So he nice. Definitely comes from a good breeding when it comes to paranormal.
Spooky family.
Yeah. So that was very interesting to see. A couple of stories that come from Norwich. The first is about Alumni Hall, which is the oldest building on the campus at this point. It was built in 1905, and the story here is about a bricked off room. The way the story goes is that there was a boy who was in the Corps of Cadets, and he got this room in the basement of the alumni building, and that's where he stayed. And he hung himself in that room.
That's awful.
It really is pretty awful. And the next year, his younger brother comes to the school, is also a rook, and is somehow put in that exact same room. And he also hung himself.
That's so terrible.
In that room. God. Like, could you even imagine being that family?
Oh my God, no. I don't want to think about it.
Right.
No, that's awful.
It just kind of becomes like this tale that, you know, people have heard, but nobody really pays too much attention to.
What year was this?
I could not find any information about what years this happened.
Okay.
But we'll kind of circle back to that sort of idea with Norwich. So several years later, there's another cadet who ends up having a really rough year, and he's in that same room, and his fellow cadets walk in on him preparing to hang himself. And they're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And he said, the people in the mirror told me to do it.
Oh my gosh.
So according to this cadet,
that's so heartbreaking.
The cadets before him, the rooks before him, whoever it was, were one by one manifesting themselves in the mirror and asking him to join them. So that's a little upsetting. And in fact, it was so upsetting to the administrators at Norwich that they bricked off that room.
Good.
It is sealed off. But so it's this open space underneath Alumni Hall, and people will swear that they can hear voices in there, that they hear furniture being dragged around in there, that like there's something going on, but it's been bricked off for years and years.
That's incredible.
So pretty much every Norwich cadet or student, because they also have the non-military section now as well, knows of that story. So there have been, over the years, a lot of cadet deaths that have actually been documented. Back in the day when hazing was still a thing, the rooks were routinely initiated by the upperclassmen. They would wear face masks and they would walk around with those paddles. Have you seen Dazed and Confused?
I don't want to say.
For those of you who haven't seen Dazed and Confused, at the beginning, how can you not have seen that movie? It's like Matthew McConaughey's like breakout movie. Remember in the beginning when the juniors all leave school at the beginning of the movie?
I don't remember anything about this movie.
And they have these paddles and they're going out to beat up the incoming freshmen. And like the one that like sticks out in my mind the most is the blonde kid and his paddle says FAQ. Anyway, so they would get hit with paddles. That's kind of the point of my story.
Okay.
So one of the initiates, one of the rooks, was apparently beaten so badly in one of the underground tunnels that he died.
That's awful.
That really is. But again, there's no like year that that happened. Supposedly, there were tunnels originally between the buildings, but they've all been closed up since then. Although every single student at Norwich swears they've been in those tunnels.
So I know like Boston College, I know they have underground tunnels that people aren't supposed to go in. And I hear they're haunted.
Okay. When we do Haunted Colleges of Massachusetts, we'll circle back and connect it back to Norwich.
I have an in. We might be able to get into those haunted tunnels.
No way.
Yes way.
All right. So they had other rooks died in 1821. Two rooks named Halbert and Wyckoff died. And so those are thought to be two of the spirits that get up every morning at revelry. And they actually march alongside the cadets when they have to wake up at sunrise. Part of me wonders if that's just the cadets like still being in like sleepy mode, like imagining seeing.
You know, that's interesting too, cadets. Because that could also be time loop. Which we often talk about.
It could be a time loop.
It could be a time
loop. I hadn't
loop.
Thought of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they get up and they just go through it.
Right.
Some of the other notable rook deaths or cadet deaths were in 1913. Two cadets died playing football.
Interesting.
Apparently that's a thing.
Yeah.
You can get injured playing football and potentially die.
Well, that's why they make everyone wear helmets now.
Well, I know, but who would have thought that like slamming as hard as you can into another full grown human being could potentially be injurious?
I like that word.
Which one?
Injurious.
Oh, yeah, isn't that a fun one?
Is that a real word?
Yeah.
I should have paid more attention in school. Okay.
In 1918, there was the great influenza epidemic. Five of them died. So that's definitely on record. And my personal favorite, and I'm a terrible person, I know.
You but shouldn't have a favorite death. God.
In 1887, a rook died of tetanus from a paper cut.
Oh, that's awful. Don't say that's your favorite.
Got a paper cut and it developed into tetanus.
Please go get your tetanus shots.
I don't understand how you get tetanus from a paper cut in the first place.
Because you have your hand in something after post-paper cut.
I suppose.
The paper didn't give you tetanus. Hopefully.
But, I don't know. It makes me think of that Seinfeld episode where the girlfriend got gonorrhea from riding a horse.
Yeah, she didn't actually get gonorrhea from riding a horse. That's a joke. That's the whole point of the episode.
Well, but I just wonder if that's what's going on here, that the tetanus was from something else. Anyway, so there's a lot of
sightings. That's a great episode.
Is there a bad Seinfeld episode?
There isn't.
There's a lot of sightings of the ghostly cadets all over Norwich. Back to the library, that the librarians obviously talk a lot about how most of the people coming in looking for books are looking for different things on hauntings. But two really kind of significant stories about the library. The first is how the librarian, so this is kind of two versions of the same story. The first version is that the librarian, in working late at night, will come across a table that no one's been sitting at all day and will find a book open on the table. And so she'll fold the book up and she'll put it away. And the next day she'll come back over and the book is open again on the table, just turned a couple of pages later. Like whoever sat down to read it just made it through a couple more pages. And another version of that same kind of story is that there's a book there in a locked case that somehow the pages are getting turned every night, even though it's locked.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then 1678, there was a fire in the Chaplin Library. As the fire brigade, they have like a volunteer fire brigade, showed up and started making the line to carry the ladder down. The first ones to get down there saw this shadowy 19th century figure wearing an outfit, and he had one of those like 19th century coats, and he's trying to like bat out the flames. Like he saw them coming in ready to put out the fire and he disappeared in the blink of an eye, which I just thought was such a neat little story about
That's a great ghost story. Yeah. That's a happy ghost story.
It really is.
Yeah.
Shall we get to the seance story?
I love a good seance story.
Okay. So again, 1978, apparently that was a spooky year at Norwich. It was Christmas 1978. And so there are five boys there at the school, and they decide to hold a seance in the dorm room of one of their recently departed friends. So they go in, they hold hands, they light the candle, they do the whole seance thing. At first, nothing's happening. And then out of nowhere, this radio with no batteries in it, not plugged in, just starts playing. There were, you know, it's Christmas time, so there's Christmas stockings hanging up. They turn upside down. They just like turn up, stuff starts falling out. And then one of the boys looked up and screamed, and then the other boys all looked up because there was a ghostly face looking at them in through the window.
That's scary.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, so that's really scary.
They all obviously dropped hands, jumped up, ran out, and never went back in that room.
I don't think you're supposed to drop hands.
Why not?
That might just be from a spooky movie I watched one time. But like, if you drop hands, then the ghost like stays with you.
Tim, we're going to need some clarification on this.
If you're listening, please shoot me a text because we got to figure this out.
Well, he said that when he does his seances, like he doesn't have everybody hold hands.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So now we get back to my son, Michael. In trying to coax a ghost story out of Michael, because he did spend 4 years there, he said that what was really interesting, I couldn't get him to actually talk and send me something, but he's like, there are a lot of ghost stories at Norwich. He's like, but nobody that I know ever saw a ghost. Like they never saw anything spooky. Like none of that stuff ever happened to anybody that I know, which I think is fair enough. And then also in my research for doing this, that was another one of the things that was being said, is that all these stories are from like so long ago, nobody knows like what year they happened, nobody knows any of the details behind them, and nobody that they've talked to has actually had any of these spooky things happening to them. So Norwich University.
There we go.
Haunted? Not haunted?
Probably haunted.
I would say more than likely haunted.
Yeah, probably haunted.
But good luck finding a witness.
Or if you are an alumnus, please contact us with your ghost story from Norwich.
I would love to have more Norwich ghost stories.
Me too.
And so the other interesting thing is the kids from Norwich, because they're in the Corps of Cadets and they have these oaths that they have to take about proper behavior and all sorts of stuff like that. Like they're not allowed to have any booze. They can't like, you know, do any of that stuff that college kids do. But when they are released from college, like for the weekends that they can finally leave and go places, you know where they go?
Where?
UVM.
Well, it's so funny you bring up UVM, Beth, because don't you know it? That is where our next tale comes from.
Excellent.
Did you know that UVM is not only the most haunted college in the state of Vermont, but it is considered to have more haunted buildings in one location than anywhere else in the Freedom and Unity State?
Which one's the Freedom and Unity State?
Vermont.
It is?
Yes.
They're right next to the Empire State and Live Free or Die, and they went with...
You think I was going to say Ohio?
The Freedom and Unity State?
Yeah.
Let's come up with a new motto for Vermont.
I think it's so fitting.
Okay.
Okay. Back to the story. It is said the campus spooks haunt the following locations: the Bittersweet House in the Agricultural Department, the Allen House in the Center for Cultural Pluralism. I don't know what that is. The Center for Counseling and Testing, the Grassmount House, the Redstone Hall, the Converse Hall, the Coolidge Hall Dormitory, the Millis Hall Dormitory, the Simpson Hall Dormitory. And that's just to name a couple offhand. The Vermont Agency of Paranormal Organized Research, aka VAPOR. Sick name, bro.
I know. That's a great acronym.
That's a great freaking name.
I was kind of sorry that we didn't think about our name before we called ourselves Ghost Hunting in New England. We should have been like Ghost Hunting in South Taunton, because then our acronym would have been...
Ghost.
Oh, no. Ghost Hunters of South Taunton or something like that.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So the VAPOR team has investigated the campus and considers a whopping 14 buildings to be haunted. That's a whole bunch.
14 is one more than 13.
Sure is.
And 13 is kind of a spooky number.
Yeah.
Do you think they just made up an extra one so they didn't land on 13?
No. All right. Now, we could spend all night talking about each of the dozens of ghosts who have been reportedly haunting the halls over the past couple of decades, but... we got things to do here. So here are some of the ghouls who are presently spooking students and faculty. First, let's talk about Henry. Henry is one of the most popular ghosts of UVM, and that could just be because people actually know his name. Henry was a student at the university in the early 1920s. Tragically, the course load was too much for him to handle, and the young man hanged himself in the attic of the Converse Hall dormitory. There have been no full-bodied apparitions of Henry reported. However, there has been a great deal of poltergeist-esque phenomenon. Some of this includes tearing down posters, rearranging furniture, lights flickering, typewriters typing by themselves, and doors slamming shut.
Go Henry.
Yes, but the most common report is that he likes to knock mirrors off of walls. And that includes mirrors that have been bolted to the walls. Not just like, yeah, not just mirrors that are like hanging on a nail.
I've heard a story like that before. Mm-hmm. Grandma and Papa used to talk about how after Uncle Adam died, they had a picture that kept falling off the wall in their apartment over by Wollaston Station to the point that Papa nailed it to the wall and they came home and it was knocked down again. Thing I forget at this point the story about how they knew it was Adam, but Adam had something to do with that picture and he did not want it on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is interesting about Uncle Adam. I hadn't heard that before. Okay. Many students in the dorm also reported hearing footsteps coming up behind them late at night. Now, there's another ghost at Converse Hall, so that you get a two for one if you're in there. Two ghosts, one kind of haunting.
They're like haunting in shifts?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, hey, if you got to make a living as a dead person, that would be the way to do it.
I guess.
Job share.
It's kind of weird, though, because some of my research said he was haunting a different dormitory, but the majority of it said he was in this one. So I don't know. If you lived there, write in and let us know. Okay. So the second ghost of the dorm is a former student who also, very unfortunately, committed suicide, but he did it by electrocuting himself in 1998. Yikes. This ghost is more of an intelligent haunting. And is super spooky. He is known for his interactions with the electrical equipment, specifically turning radios on and off, but is most well known, and there's a lot of accounts of this, waking students up by staring at them. And then when they wake up, he disappears.
Do they wake up with that night paralysis thing?
I didn't ask any of them, but they said they just like wake up and see like this kid staring at them, and then he like disappears. It's scary.
Very.
Very scary.
I'd be curious to know how many reports have been made to campus security on that.
Probably a lot. Okay. At Redstone Hall, there is a ghost that many paranormal investigators have interacted with. However, there's not actually that much information on like who he was or why he's there, where he came from. I say him because this is a ghost is a man who lurks around the back and presents himself in full-bodied apparitions. And he is known for walking through walls in hallways and stairwells, which is like the cliche ghost of a movie. Just like you see a guy walking and then he just walks in through a wall. Very scary.
And I think that we've kind of talked about that we kind of consider that to be like the Hollywood ghost as opposed to like the legitimate ghost that we would kind of think of as more of a solid, not like the see-through.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he is solid and then he walks right through the wall?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. Very spooky. It would be fitting that you and I find it very spooky, Beth, because this ghost is said not to like female students. And he presents itself most often to them and like chases them out of the building and does like spooky stuff, like walks into a wall to or through a wall to scare them and make them leave. Next on the list is the ghost of Sea Captain Jacobs, who died in a building on campus, appropriately named the Jacobs House. The building was named for the man after his widow donated a large sum of money to the university after his death. Staff working in the Jacobs House have reported a variety of poltergeist activity, and some claim to have even seen the captain himself. One psychiatrist who worked there reported that one night he saw an elderly man with a large bulbous nose, walking down the stairs. As he walked, he was shimmering, quote, like a jellyfish, end quote, before he disappeared.
Like a jellyfish?
Yeah, spooky. I didn't know what that meant either. You know shrinks.
Shimmering or quivering?
Shimmering.
Shimmering. I've seen a lot of jellyfish, but I've never seen one shimmer.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, when you see them at the top of the water and the light's hitting them?
Yeah, I run. I don't want to get stung. But I don't think of them as shimmery.
So that made sense to me because when I was growing up, my mom volunteered to find like red tide on the coast of Massachusetts.
Oh my gosh, that would be so unlike your mom to go do something like that and to bring you and Will with her.
She sure did. I had a really weird childhood. So we'd all go down on this dock and like be looking through the microscope and stuff to find the red tide. And on the dock, there was like, not on the dock, but in the water right below it, there was like hundreds of jellyfish that would like float through. And they would, I know. Yes, I know. Beth is making a face. Yeah, it was scary. But yeah, they would like float through and they'd like the light would hit them, you know, and they would shimmer. I get it. I still think it's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in the world that shimmer.
Yeah, shimmered like a jellyfish. I don't know what the frick that means.
It's an interesting simile.
Yeah. Well, it's spooky. He has also been known to play with the lights, and janitors often claim he knocks the mops over late at night. Now, Beth,
Yeah.
I was getting a little frustrated because I happen to know a few current students at UVM and I know a few alumni from UVM, and none of them could give me a haunted story.
Just like Norwich.
Yes. I did find some student blogs online of people like while they were in college who like wrote about like, oh my God, my dorm's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. But then I thought really hard. And there was a young man whose house I spent almost my entire time at high school at because I was very good friends with his older sister. So I reached out to them, that family, and I got a recording from Johnny Cannon.
Stop it.
I know. And you know what's even cooler is that Johnny, who now goes by John for some reason, even though Johnny Cannon's like the most badass name ever. It's true.
It is. That's a pretty good sounding name.
It is. It's really cool. He co-hosts a crypto podcast now. His podcast, which I found out all this today. And it's so funny because you know when like you think about people from your past? So like when I think about Johnny, I think of like this like funny, like smiley, kind of awkward middle schooler. But he's like graduated from college now and is living his life and doing an awesome podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called The Beast of the Week.
The Beast of the Week.
The Beast of the Week. So please, if you're listening and you like cryptozoology, things like that.
Now, cryptozoology is like Bigfoot stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Go check them out because they're doing a great job and they're having a lot of fun. So this is John's recording to us.
Hey, everyone. I'm John Cannon. If you recognize my voice, this is the shameless part of me being on this podcast. It's because I host the Beast of the Week podcast. And if you don't recognize it, you should check us out. We talk about cryptids and ghosts and demons, which I know is against the rules here. And it's a lot of fun. You could join the weirdos that listen to us. Now, I've had a number of spooky experiences in my life to the point where it kind of seems like they follow me. And I also happen to get acquainted with spooky people. It kind of surrounds me. And what I'm going to talk about here is a haunting that I experienced living at the University of Vermont, actually off campus in a house we rented with four of my friends, one of which, Sam, is actually a co-host on The Beast of the Week. So this house, it was kind of old, renovated, all that, and it was a little spooky to start with. One of our housemates, as soon as we walked in, started doing a sage smudge ceremony over the house, which I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know the intimate details of, but I understand the gist of it is to purify a new home. That didn't seem to help the situation because pretty much from the first night on, it was things like doors opening, footsteps when nobody was home, confirmed nobody is home. The cats would just sit and stare at. The thing is, this one specific spot of the basement would be down there doing laundry, and little Gandalf is just staring intently, not like a distracted cat, but one focused on this one part of the wall. And that always freaked me out. I never knew what that was. And I think the freakiest thing that happened to me there was late one night. I think everyone was asleep. And this is very similar to something that's happened in my apartment recently. But what happened was I heard a voice right next to me, but it sounded as though garbled, like the TV is on in the other room, but sitting next to me at the same time. And there's tons of footsteps, like not quite like a house party was going on, but like you had a dinner party. And it freaked me out, and it all culminated in the door swinging wide open, which I know was locked, and just this breeze rushing in the house, and then it just stopped. And I haven't been able to make out what that meant. I know this is kind of a mundane haunting story, but it was definitely terrifying at the time. Me and my friends, you know, we'd spend many nights freaking out while also further freaking ourselves out playing horror games or watching a scary movie, because that's just the kind of masochistic people we are. But there it is. That's my UVM haunting. I've heard other stories about a cemetery right off campus where you can see a woman in white. I've heard of a haunted dorm building, which I believe is next to the library. It's an old place. It was a wild place, and now it is a haunted place. So yeah, that's my haunting. Thanks so much for having me on. If you want to be my best friend, check out Beast of the Week and enjoy the rest of your podcast.
Nice. So there you go. We got some real UVM stories.
I hope one day to be as eloquent a speaker as John Cannon.
They come from a pretty nice family.
I was impressed by that. Also, can we talk about the fact that his cat's name is Gandalf?
I knew you'd love that.
Oh my God. I can't even. Yeah, I wrote it down on my paper.
That's really good.
I want to meet your cat, Gandalf.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that just goes to show, like, when we talk about UVM and it having, like, the most amount of hauntings anywhere in Vermont, like, even mm-hmm. things close there are haunted. Like, the cemetery's haunted. He brought up that one of the dormitories. Even his off-campus housing seems to be haunted.
Yeah, so it's just that whole area around UVM.
Yeah.
Nice.
And he brought up the whispers that sound like they're next to you, but at the same time sound like they're from another room.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened to me before.
Really?
Yes. Recently.
Where?
Remember that cute little cafe we talk about sometimes being
with
haunted?
The footprint?
Yeah, that's why we don't use the downstairs bathroom anymore.
Yeah, we have to talk about the footprint eventually.
We'll get there.
Okay. Teaser.
Yes, and it sounds like he has a haunted apartment now, so maybe we should hit him up. Maybe we should go ghost hunt his apartment.
Yeah.
And if you have a haunted house, please have us over.
Absolutely.
Okay, Beth. So I think that's enough on our Vermont haunted areas. Institutions of Vermont. If you were a police officer in training in Vermont, please let us know. If you went to UVM, please let us know. If you went to Norwich, let us know. Even if you don't have a story, be like, yo, I don't have a story. We just like to get mail. Makes
yeah,
feel good.
It really does.
It really
does. And we like to read your mail and put it on the podcast.
So going back to last week's episode, we mentioned we were going to have a ghost story from Australia this week.
Vermont, all the way around the world to Australia.
It's true. And I got a little nervous that I did the thing I always do, which is bring up stuff that doesn't end up happening because it's not concrete. But Daniel came in at just the nick of time and submitted us his story today. Actually, it's a couple stories, so we're going to spread them out over a few episodes. So here is tonight's
drive-by ghosting from Daniel.
From Australia, mate.
Have a look at this!
In my youth, at around the age of 6, I would visit cousins who lived in a late 1800s house here in Australia.
Yes, I love it when people bring their cousins up in our podcast. Get it? Because we're cousins. Get it? Get it?
Yes.
Get
yes,
it? Do you get it?
If you have a cousin, please send us your stories. All right, I'm going to read Daniel's story now.
Okay.
In my youth, at around the age of 6, I would visit cousins who lived in a late 1800s house here in Australia. My younger cousin and I would be playing in a toy room, and we would often see a late middle-aged man, well-dressed, wearing a bowler-type hat. He would watch us play, smile and nod when we spoke to him, but he never spoke. We knew he was a ghost. That was obvious, as we could see through him, and he would just appear rather than walk into the room. To us, he was just there, part of the house. He meant no harm, and just seemed to enjoy our company, our one-sided chats, and the fact that we acknowledged his existence. Anytime we spoke of him to the all-knowing grown-ups, we were reprimanded for making up stories. Later, we realized the grown-ups knew quite well he was there, but didn't want us to be encouraged.
Boo-da-boo!
Oh, those darn grown-ups.
Ugh, I hate grown-ups.
Not wanting to admit that there are paranormal forces out there.
Yeah.
That the spirits are here. They're trying to drive it out of the kids.
Is it screwed up that, like, now I'm 30, but I still always side with kids? Like, I'm still like, ugh, grown-ups.
Have you never heard the saying, don't trust anyone over 30?
No.
You have now, and you're over 30. They won't trust you anymore.
Ugh. Well, that was great. That was an awesome first story. And like we said, Daniel, he knocked it out of the park. Thank you so much. He gave us so many stories
mm-hmm.
that we're going to break them up on different episodes. And
we
so
are.
We have a lot of ghost stories from Australia.
Yes. So, Daniel, thanks for joining the show. You're about to become a regular.
So, Beth, did anything interesting happen to you that you want to talk about?
Well, actually, I got a message from you yesterday telling me that I should send an email to see if I could be in the Adam Sandler Halloween movie, but I did not hear back from them.
Hmm.
Did you have anything interesting happen, Amelia?
I did have something interesting happen. So here's my interesting story that I'm telling everyone and now I'm telling all of you because I can't stop talking about it, but it's semi-relevant to the podcast. Let me set the scene. It's July 23rd and I'm at work and I walk over and I check my phone. And I have a text message. And then I call the text message. And anyway, what it resulted in is I got a call back to be in the Adam Sandler movie being filmed in Massachusetts. And it was so exciting. And you might not think that that has anything to do with being spooky, ghosts, things like that. But it kind of does because the scene I was cast in as an extra to be a funeral mourner in a cemetery in Salem, Massachusetts, my favorite spooky spot. And so that is how I spent July 24th, 2 days before my birthday. It was so cool.
I'm sorry. Wasn't there something a little bit special about how you found out that you were doing it on the 24th because you actually thought you were going to be going on the 26th, your actual birthday?
Yes, I forgot to mention that part, which actually is the most related part to our podcast. I'm so sorry. Okay, so yes, I get the call.
I'm really glad I mentioned it.
I'm so glad you did too. I just got carried away. So they called me on the 24th and they're like, the 23rd, they're like, can you come in the next morning? I'm like, heck yeah, I can. I can be there whenever the F you want me to be there. I go out, I run out of work. I'm so excited. I'm like sweating. I can't believe I got this call back. I go straight to the nail salon. I got a little manicure going. I get my eyebrows done. I'm so excited. And I get out of the nail salon. I look at my phone. They have called back. I call them. They say, listen, we're overbooked for tomorrow. Can you instead come in on Friday to do like be a person who walks through like a spooky Halloween haunted house? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, again, like whatever you want, I will do it. This is the most exciting thing to ever happen to me. So I go home and I'm like, maybe I want to go tanning. Maybe I want to all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I took a shower and usually I shower in the mornings, but I showered at night. Got ready because I was so like hyped up from my day. Go to sleep. I wake up very, very early. My alarm goes off at 4:30 a.m. because I had set it when I got the first phone call and I forgot to unset it when they told me not to. I hit the snooze button on my alarm. Okay. My alarm goes off again. I go to hit the snooze button again. I hear a voice. And the voice says, check your phone. You're going into the movie today.
I can't believe your cat learned to talk.
No, it wasn't Liddy. It wasn't my cat. It was a voice in my head. I think it was an angel. I think an angel was telling me this. Could be an angel, could be a spirit guide, could be a ghost. Someone once told me they thought my closet was haunted. So you never know. Anyway, they told me to look at my phone and I was going in today. And that sounds crazy, but I looked at my phone and I got a message at 11:30 p.m. telling me I needed to get my butt up to the North Shore by 7:45 a.m. for my call time because I was confirmed and booked on the movie. Pretty sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get up there and yeah, it was great. And I can't talk a lot about what happened, but I can say I went through wardrobe and hair and makeup and it was awesome. I can tell you the people who I was around, which was Ray Liotta, Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, and Michael Chiklis. That's pretty cool.
Michael Chiklis, also known as Vic Mackey from The Shield.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, because people, with him, people either absolutely know him or they have no idea who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think everybody else is fairly well known.
Yeah, everyone probably knows everyone else. Yeah.
He was also the commish way back when. And he, I think, was the Hulk in the Avengers movies.
Don't know. Beth is a big Michael Chiklis fan.
Sean is a big Michael Chiklis fan. I am a Michael Chiklis fan by marriage.
There you go. Anyway, it was super awesome. It was super cool. Please go see the movie Hubie Halloween and tell me if I'm in it. Anyway, the point of this is that it has sprung a new interest in my life because I am now trying to be an actress or like just on TV. I want to be on TV. So if you know some way to kind of get me on TV, or what I'd really like to do is like if anyone knows like a ghost hunting TV show they want to put me on, or if you want me to do like those really bad videos that they show people when they get a new job, that's something I'd be interested in.
You want to do training videos?
I think they're so funny. They're so funny. I would love to do that. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Oh my God, that'd make my life. I'd show everyone. And I'd camp it up. Oh my gosh. I would be so happy. All right. Anyway, yeah, that's my really exciting story about getting to hang out in a cemetery all day and actually getting paid for it for once, as opposed to us hanging out in cemeteries in Salem.
But they didn't pay us to do that.
Yeah, no one pays us.
Oh.
But we like it. We get paid in joy.
Yes.
Joy. Yeah, I love doing that. Do that all day.
Other things that we should catch up on? Oh, Amelia's desire to be on TV is not shared with me. I'm actually trying to look into being an audiobook narrator.
Yeah, so if you know any ins on that, sign Beth up. She has a great voice.
Yeah. I have a great face for radio.
No, that's not true. Don't say that. You're gorgeous.
Amelia wants to be on TV.
I do.
I do not.
I do. I hope to be.
This might be the end of our podcast.
I saw a really famous astrologer. I talked to her and she said my Jupiter was something coming up and October was going to be a big month for my career and put me more in the spotlight.
Maybe you'll be an actress.
I hope so. Am I too old to be an actress?
How did Penny do that on The Big Bang Theory? I'm not an actress. I'm an actress.
I don't know. I never
with the
watched
hand
it.
Motion.
Didn't watch it.
What do you do at night?
Work.
No movies. You don't watch Big Bang Theory. At least you know Seinfeld. I can make Seinfeld references and you get those.
I work. Welcome to being a workaholic. Okay. So what else do we got? What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? We got 5-star reviews and we got an email. Which one do we want to read first?
I think we should do Barry's email first because people will remember him from our first episode.
Great. And if you don't remember from first episode, it's because you didn't listen to it. So go listen to it.
This is from Barry Corbett from Boston Paranormal Investigators. Hi, Amelia and Beth. Your podcast with Tim Regan was fascinating. He was engaging and very well spoken. I'm learning quite a bit from your podcast about the various disciplines that relate to ghost hunting. Keep up the great work. Amelia, could your numerology question for 1222 indicate the time of day instead of a date? Best, Barry.
It could, but I don't know what that would mean.
Well, what happens at 1222 in the middle of the day?
Nothing.
So maybe at 1222, you should just be keeping an eye out for the big bag of money that falls off the Brinks truck driving by.
Maybe.
Because then you'd have time to run out, grab it, and bring it back inside before all the customers show up. Thanks for all the kind words, Barry.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
them. Yeah, thanks
for
the kind words, Barry. Beth was so kind. She got me a numerology book for my birthday, too. It's actually been a lot of fun. Did you look at it before you gave it to me?
No.
Oh, we're going to have to look through it. It's a lot of fun. It like tells you stuff about your birthday and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I read it to everyone at work. I do.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. No, it was a great gift. Thank you. And you know what's weird? What? Is that now I see 1222 less and I see 122 a lot.
Well, 122 is still in 1222.
I understand that.
So maybe you're running out of time. If you start seeing 12s all over the place next week.
Then I'm going to die?
Well, I don't know, but something's happening.
I'm going to die? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just saying be on the lookout.
I mean, I can't believe I made it to 30, so.
It's a bolo.
Who knows? What?
A be on the lookout. Oh. A bolo.
Every time you say that, I think you're saying Ebola, and I'm like, ugh. All right, so Beth, we got some 5-star reviews. This week we have 4, but only 2 of them left us comments.
Thank you all 4 of you and the 2 Ooh. That we're going to hear comments from.
Okay. Subject line, 5 stars. Can't have anyone going home crying about less than 5-star reviews. But can I please try a sample of the soup? I'd give it 6 stars if the soup was good. And do you offer a AAA discount? Signed, Living with Purpose. Well, thanks, Living with Purpose. That was a pretty good one. And it was relevant to our episode 2 weeks ago.
Thanks, Living with Purpose.
Okay, so next 5-star review comes from listener 132. Title, !! I'm not really a ghost/paranormal person, but ghost hunting in New England is really interesting. As someone who only knew of ghosts and seances, as they are in that one episode of The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, I love listening to Amelia and Beth go really in-depth about topics that everyone's heard of before, but few people really understand. Everyone should listen. Thank you so much, listener 132. That was a really nice review.
Yeah, thanks, listener 132. Yay. We're glad that we've got you at least a little bit hooked on the paranormal stuff, even if you're not 100% sold yet.
It's like your mom said on our Facebook.
Interviews that inform us. Thanks, Mom.
Okay, Beth, so do we have anything else?
Just some contact information.
Okay, and for contact information, before we do that, I actually want to say something because we forgot to say it last week and we owe him a huge apology. Thank you so much to Aaron Schilb for doing our intro music on all of our episodes every week. Aaron's a great guy. He does our intro music. He's from Nashville. Please go check him out online at The Aaron Schilb. Now we can do contact info. I didn't want to forget it.
Thanks, Aaron. We do. We love our music. You know, we love it. Contact info. You can reach us on all of the social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Did you know that our YouTube like breaks up all of our episodes into like weird? Does anybody know how we can fix that? Send us a message and let us know how we can get it all in like one piece on YouTube.
Yeah, how does the YouTube work? I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea. So we're crowdsourcing here.
Yeah.
If you know how to make YouTube just put our episodes in one continuous like 40-minute, that would be great. Because apparently what I'm hearing from people is like they listen to a lot of podcasts on YouTube. We have a website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com.
Which we are now updating, and please subscribe to our website.
You can email us, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. Send us a direct message.
So please, please, please like and subscribe to our podcast. Tell all your friends about it and leave us a 5-star review. Please don't leave us a 1-star review.
Yeah. If you leave us a 1-star review, we might turn into shimmering jellyfish.
Yeah. We might just float away.
I don't know what a shimmering jellyfish is, but that would be a terrible thing to become.
If you don't feel we deserve 5-star reviews, please just send us a direct message letting us know what we can do to make the show even better for you.
You can send it to any of those social medias that I already mentioned or email us directly.
Or you can just go on our website and we have a contact form right there.
Oh, we do?
Yes,
excellent.
Beth, haven't you looked at our website?
No, you're in charge of that. So I do just want to give everybody an update and let them know that August 6th, which is the first Tuesday in August, that Tim Regan gave me that prediction about something big is going to happen.
Ooh.
Is next Tuesday.
Sure is.
So I am holding on for
Yay.
Dear life here, and I'm hoping to have an update for you. I will not be here that Thursday night. I will be at the airport, but who knows? Maybe I'll be on the phone with Amelia giving the update.
Okay, so anything else tonight, Beth?
No, there's never anything else that I have.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening and have a great week. We'll see you guys next week.
Happy hunting.
Life can be stressful and self-care is important. Relax and get balanced with Mandipura Body and Mind's collection of Reiki-infused bath and skincare products. Bath and shower balms, body scrubs, lip balms, and so much more, made with real essential oils and 100% vegan ingredients. Handcrafted by Reiki Masters in Belmont, Massachusetts, and always made with love. Buy online at ManipuraBodyandMind.com. That's Manipura, M-A-N-I-P-U-R-A, BodyandMind.com.